You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Go to the scripture reading. Today it's in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, lots of snow on the ground. We've had so much out where we are. Man, we had about 10 inches, I think, up there by Choctaw. I think that was the highest in the state. And we got it there. In fact, not so far from where we were. It just dried out. So if you traverse the ground from where we are in New Ulla, and then you go south to Little Axe, it virtually had nothing in Little Axe as far as we could see. But where we were, it was just a complete dumping of snow. And we enjoyed it. We enjoyed going out and walking in the snow. Next door neighbor came out with his little child, and they were throwing snowballs and having a good time. And we got a little bit of undulation there, a little bit of a hillside, so it's quite good for tobogganing and things like that. Not that we did it, but we did walk down it and enjoyed the snow. We're not used to snow from where we come, although Seppi from Iran, I guess they get quite a bit of snow there. But where I come from in New Zealand, not much. You can go south to the South Island, and yeah, there's quite a lot of snow there, but where I come from, no. It's pretty dry in terms of snow, wet in terms of rain. But snow, no. We don't have so much of that. There's a place on the North Island called Mount Ruapehu. Mount Ruapehu is an active volcano. And so there's smoke coming up from the top of it. And right at the top, there's a caldera. And the water in there is hot. So you're in this very weird situation where you take your life in your own hands to go skiing, which everybody seems to be prepared to do. And they go to the top, and some of them just off come the clothes and pow, into the hot water, and then dry off a bit, put their stuff back on, and then go skiing again. So it's a pretty weird situation there. People from around the world seem to go there and to the South Island, to places like Coronet Peak. I don't know whether you've heard of that, but Coronet Peak on the South Island, a very favorite place for people around the world who want to keep up with their skiing. So that in the northern hemisphere, when it's getting hot, down there it's getting cold, so people who are into skiing and they want to keep up with their skiing, they'll go down and go to Coronet Peak. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, for all that we have in Christ Jesus. And we think, Lord, as we look back and then forward to the future, we want to praise thee for all that has been given to us by grace. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So next week we'll begin a new series, but since we've started a new year, I thought we should have a one-off talk about some of the things that pertain to what has happened in the country, and even go further back and praise God for a lot of things that have been done previously, that we could enjoy the liberty and freedoms we have in this country. And you really need to go outside the country to appreciate what is here. As someone who comes from another country and looks at the history of the states and see how it was founded and the freedoms and liberties that we have, I appreciate it hugely. And I look around and I look at some of the Americans who have were born here and their parents were born here. And it seems like they don't quite appreciate it the same way I do. And I think a lot of it is because of the usual condition of mankind that we get complacent and we don't look back and think about the real truths of the cost, the payment, and the sacrifice which has been made that we can enjoy the liberties we have. And to also recognize that those liberties can go. They can go. And so I was looking around and I was thinking about, you know, how would you divide the history of the states up? And there's a good place, Conservapedia. I went there because I got sick and tired of Wikipedia, which is founded by an atheist. And it has a bias, and that's been pretty well documented. So I thought, well, okay, let's see if there's another place we can go to get a more balanced view of the American history. And I found this one, the Conservapedia, and it breaks up the basic history of the United States into these 20 time periods. And what's cool about it, I've just started it myself, is you can take what's basically an online course on American history. Right here, and it's all linked up, and it's well documented, and it's got plenty of references you can check up. And so you start with the pre-Columbian period, the colonial, the birth of the nation, the growth of the nation, Jacksonian democracy, pre-Civil War, Civil War. I know these are not suitable names, but nonetheless, sometimes we have to live with the perception of people. If you consider the fact that the war happened after there was a movement of the states away, a divorce between the states, then it's not technically a civil war, is it? But nonetheless, this is the way it's often pictured. Reconstruction, the Golden Age, and then imperialism, World War One, Roaring Twenties, World War Two, Cold War, Korean War, Vietnam War, the conservative movement, Ronald Reagan, post-Ronald Reagan, and then 9/11 and terrorism. That's how they've divided it up. And it's quite a useful way of seeing things and be able to study a lot of what's going on in terms of the history of the United States. And so when we look at the United States and we go right back to its founders, we find an interesting group of people. They're not all perfect. You'll find if you start digging long enough into anyone's life, you'll find shortcomings. Why? Because they're humans. Because they are sinners. So if you were to dig enough into any one of our lives, and including the founders, you'll find things that they believed or have done which are not perfect. Right? That's certainly going to be true. But amongst these, you'll find a lot who were strong Christians. Not all. A lot who were. There's a good place you can go. I often visit this site here, Wall Builders. They get their name from the rebuilding of the wall, talked about in Nehemiah. But it's a good resource. And in there, you know, there's a lot of stuff there where there are documents, original documents written by the founders, documents of history and things like that. Very, very interesting resources. And so you see some of the founders like Samuel Adams, father of the American Revolution, and sign of the Declaration of Independence. I recommend my soul to that almighty being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. Well, that's a pretty well clear statement of belief in Jesus Christ and what he's depending on for life. And life is going to come to us through the resurrection. And they understood a lot of that. So this comes from the will of Samuel Adams. And this is another one, Charles Carroll, and he's a signer of the Declaration of Independence. On the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for salvation, and on his merits, not on the works I have done in obedience to his precepts. Very strong statements, you see. These are people who basically we could listen to as Christians. Their opinion we would certainly want to hear. And there are plenty more. This is just a couple I picked out. There's plenty more quotes there that would indicate the belief of the founders. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Rights and freedoms. come from God, not government. This is one of the things you get, right, when you read about the founding of the nation, that it came about by really this belief that our freedoms and our rights come fundamentally from God. And that is not being taught, I believe, today. Many people are not getting this. They're not getting this at all. And if you look at the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Endowed by whom? The Creator. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's stated in the Declaration of Independence. The way that the country was set up independent of that nation, which was going to put people under King George III and shackle people to various taxes and whatever else. And that's the way it came about. The Constitution. And it was written. It's changed only through this amendment process. That's the way it was to be done. Is the written document, the fundamental law of the country. And if you look at the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And notice that's in there, peaceably to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's in there. And you'll notice what's happening today is we are getting a very, very, very cunning movement that will use an assemblage of words which we ostensibly can agree to. Black lives matter. Well, yeah, they matter, right? They're not the only lives that matter, but they certainly do matter. It's true. It's a true statement. Yeah, but the trouble is the people that are using this are out to destroy the union and destroy that which has been established and paid for by the blood of people that have gone before, that we can enjoy freedoms and liberty. We know that's going on. We know what's going on. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Notice you have the statement of free speech and its assemblages. Then, immediately afterwards, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, because people obviously would want to take that away. What are we getting today, my friends? We are getting now in places where we are supposed to have liberty and freedom to speak our ideas, speak our minds, what we believe, being taken away from us in universities. Now, the university I went to in New Zealand was not perfect by any means. I mean, it had plenty of problems, believe me. But one thing I noticed as someone going through that university was that everybody could actually speak their mind. You could disagree and you could get up and say, yeah, I believe this and I think that. And in this college of ideas, bad ideas would ultimately get exposed. And if someone was a communist, and there were plenty of them, they would be pulled down and numbers would be presented. Well, how many did Stalin kill? How many died under Stalin? Yeah. It makes Hitler's regime look like a little party compared to what the socialists and the ultimate socialism being communism have brought about. So it's remarkable to me, that in our places of education, institutions of education, we are seeing a man like Karl Marx being put up as being some sort of example of great doctrine and teaching and a system of government that we should somehow respect. When this very man, in his own private life, treated his own family like dogs, man. And in this country, being treated as a dog is a pretty good thing. You know, you've seen how dogs are treated, generally speaking. I mean, but typically speaking, in many countries, the dogs are an unclean animal. You don't get them anywhere near your homes. This guy here, if you just read his biography, you would be amazed. And just recently, I've been reading a book about Karl Marx and Satanism. And when you think about this, it really brought up this whole issue. You know, the whole idea of communism should not be presented simply in terms of an economic system. It shouldn't be. It should be couched in a moralistic framework. What are the morals of this system? What are the morals of it? Because the morals of it, man, I'm telling you, they are based upon atheism and the fruits of atheism. Believe me. Do your own reading. Do your own research. And if you just look at it from that point of view, you can see how bankrupt it truly is. This phrase is a common one which is used. And I'm coming to the Bible, okay? We're not going to simply stay here. We're moving to the issues, right? From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Okay, this has been attributed to Karl Marx. It's been very popular amongst the socialists. They push this phrase. And some who are Christians and socialists will say, well, this comes directly from the Bible. This comes directly from the Bible. And they'll say, the Bible, correctly understood, is a document which supports communism. And so what I want to do is I want to just look at this a little bit and to show you and bring you to the real point that I think we can all see and understand. The important point about this ministry right here and how important it really is. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, 44, it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. All things common. And you can see the word common, which is cognate communism. Right? Common, all things common. Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now what I want you to do is I want you to open up your Bible to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We are going to study the book of Acts. In fact, next week we're going to begin it. And again, this is very nice because it allows us to see what's going on in the world today, to make commentary on the fact that we have such a great background in the United States that's worth standing up for. Now, some Christians, they say, oh, we should never talk about anything political in our services. My friends, right and wrong are right and wrong. There's such a thing as truth. There's such a thing as standing up for what is right. And the basic idea of the founding of the nation is to make government as small as possible so it doesn't interfere with our liberties and freedoms. And the bigger you get a government, the more problems we're going to have. And you can see it right now with the massive spendings. The way that the government tries to move into our personal lives and tries to tell us what to do. Look, here's an example that just come up over the COVID thing, right? Now that this time has gone by, we can look back on it. Man, can we see some stuff, right? Look at, for example, hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine. It is now obvious and evident to anyone that researches this that hydroxychloroquine plus zinc is virtually a cure for this disease. I'm not saying it's an absolute cure because if it's given too late in the scene, it's not going to be as effective. But generally speaking, we now have the frontline doctors who are using it left, right, and center. We have countries throughout Africa and India that have been using this for ages. It's safe and it's effective. It's a drug that was used originally for malaria. And now it's being repurposed and it's been shown to be effective. This was kept away from people who, if they had it, would have survived this disease. Let me ask you a question. Who is responsible for their death, therefore? When there is a drug that's available to people and would help them and it's kept away from them, who is responsible? It's the people who keep it away. Now, unfortunately, our medical fraternity have failed us, some of them. Some of them have severely failed us. And that needs to be stated. And that's another feature of big government interfering in things. When we should have a relationship going on with our doctor, that whatever we consult with the doctor, and that doctor says, yeah, you should take this drug, this will help you, then we should get that drug. You know what I'm saying? That is monstrous, man. That's monstrous. Anyway, we're not going to stay on there, but it's appalling, man. It needs to be said. Okay, let's have a look at this Acts chapter 3. Now, Acts is an interesting book because it shows you what happened to the nation of Israel. And you'll notice that the big name here is Pentecost, man. Pentecost. Pente. You see, what you have here is the 50. 50 comes up here. And there's the name 50 comes up in Leviticus 25, which is the year of the Jubilee, which is the great year of setting to liberty. Setting to liberty. Now, there's all sorts of other features to do with it. But quite clearly, Pentecost has to do with this Jubilee. And who was set to come and give us the great Jubilee? It was the second return of Jesus Christ who would bring this great liberty. That's the background of this thing. So when you read in Acts 3 in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. Notice the temple was extant, it was standing, it was functional. It was there. It was a real piece of architecture that was being used. It was there. Magnificent thing. And then it talks about this lame man. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So he is wanting money. He needed money to survive. He couldn't help himself other than to just beg. And so he had people deposit him there, put him in front of this beautiful gate, and he would there ask for help. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asks an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So look on us. He's expecting. Wow. Open eyes. What are they going to give me? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's an interesting statement, right? Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now you talk about the physician here, man. Wow. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now, these legs had not been used. We learn later on for 40 years. He'd been 40 years in this case. 40 is a very interesting number. Very interesting number, right? Nation of Israel, in the desert, 40 years. And then what do? They cross over into the promised land. This is Pentecost. This is the time of the Jubilee. This is picturing when Christ will return and bring great healing. Right? This is all typical, man. It's all typical. If you've got your eyes open, your ears wide open, then you can hear and see. It says here, and ankle bones receive strength. took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately, a terrible, beautiful miracle. Terrible in the sense if you saw it, you would be shocked. You would be affrighted with the exercise of power from God. And it says, in verse 8, and here comes the song. Do you sing this song? The kids sing this song? And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, leaping and walking and praising God. Right? You don't sing that one? Okay. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Evident miracle done by God right there at the gate, beautiful man that was unable to walk from his mother's womb, and there he got the ability to walk again. And it says in verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, this is an evident miracle. And then Peter, what he does, he goes through this thing, and he starts off, look at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Don't look at us, we didn't do it. Then what did you do? In verse 13, the God of Abraham and Isaac. And now what does he do? He traverses through this story. It says in verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, which God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So he's saying that we are witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. You are guilty. You had him crucified. And this name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. How did he get strong? Faith in his name, Jesus Christ. Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And then comes verse 19, where it says, repent. Peter says this, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. He's using this man's healing as an example of the great national healing that could come to them through faith, if they would repent. And he says this, that your sins may be blotted out when? The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing. Yeah, Pentecost, the Jubilee. When Christ will come, there will be this great setting at liberty. And all that's required from you is that you repent. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution. And it goes on and talks about Moses' witness and so on. And it says in verse number 25, yeah, the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Okay, it was to the nation of Israel first, but there was to be a worldwide blessing that would come through this. And then in chapter 4, you get the continuation of the story. It's still about this evident miracle which was done on this lame man. And it's the fact that there was this witness about Jesus Christ and the resurrection that got the Sadducees really going. And it says this, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Okay, and we won't read all this. I just want you to get the context. And verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if ye this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, subject, same thing, the impotent man, the lame man. It's still the same subject. And you come down here, let's see, verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Still the same subject. He's still waxing about what was done to this impotent man. Because why? It's typical. It's something very important that Israel is supposed to learn from. And it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard this, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And it goes on and it talks more about the great power of God and the boldness that they had to speak. Then verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. So the place now is shaken. Evident miracles. Wayne, you don't believe in miracles because you're a mad dispensationalist. No, I believe that miracles have happened truly. See, I truly believe that they happened. And they happened for a reason. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice, once the Holy Spirit comes, there's a great boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Why does this make sense that they would have all things common? Because that's the nature of the Jubilee. That is the nature of the Jubilee. When great freedom would come, their expectation is that Christ is going to come soon, and the great year of Jubilee would be upon them. And therefore, anyone that had need, okay, well, I've got some land here, man. I'll sell this. Here's some money. Why? Why could they do this? Because Christ's coming was nigh. It was nigh at hand. Anyone had need, man, you give it to them. If you had need, well, then you take it also. Well, this comes up in the next chapter, Ananias and Sapphira. Coming on, it says, in verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessed of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things which were sold. They were not compelled to do it. They did it voluntarily. They had possession of lands. Do you notice it's one of the things about America? The founding of America is the private possession of land. You own things. You own land. You have your own land. And it goes on. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's where supposedly the great communist statement comes from. But the context is very, very different, right? And so when you come to all of our subjects that are of great import, you must put in place this whole topic and doctrine, which is right division. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, in an extreme scenario, you'll start to believe in communism. You say, yeah, there are. I mean, just search it out, friends. You're gonna get some sick sermons, man. Sick sermons by people who will not rightly divide the word of truth and who are influenced, in addition, by various estranged doctrines. And they'll take things out of their context without trying to understand what's going on in the book of Acts, that Christ was nearly there. All that was required was the repentance of Israel, and the Savior would return. And there would be, literally, the great Jubilee, where God would deal out the inheritance to everyone. And God knows how to do that. I think we can trust God to deal out what's fair and right. And it says this in verse 35, and laid them down on at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had. Notice it says the apostles' feet. The apostles' didache. The apostles' doctrine was here, right? The apostles' doctrine. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite. Oh, a Levite! Where do you read about the Jubilee? From the book of Leviticus. It was a Levitical responsibility to make sure this timetable was held. Do you think there's any chance that this guy was a Levite? A Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now then you jump to the next chapter. And when you jump to the next chapter, you get the story of Ananias and Sapphira, which is another series of incidences which are taken out of the context to somehow support the idea that God is enforcing communism. Carry on. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. He has a possession, and then he sells it. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. Okay, cool. Now notice what he does. He kept back part of the price. And then, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? In other words, he's pretending that this is all that he got. This is all, but he kept back part of it. And what was his sin? His sin was lying. He lied unto the Holy Ghost. Whilst it remained, now look at the statement. This is where it gets interesting. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You could buy it back. It was still in your power. You see the point here? If Ananias was concerned that he really does need this money, or he needs this wealth, or he needs this land, then keep it. The sin that Ananias committed was lying unto the Holy Ghost. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And then what happens? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Oh boy! You don't mess with God in the book of Acts. You say, wait a minute. So is that what's going to happen today if you lie to... People are lying to God all the time and they're living, aren't they? Do I need to convince you that people lie to the Holy Ghost today and yet they carry on living? Well, why is this going on? Because, my friends, you've got to rightly divide the word of truth, right? Because while the book of Acts is running, you have the hope of Israel evident. There is the possibility of the Jubilee occurring, Christ return, it's possible, my friends. And therefore there was an oikonomia going on. There is an economy going on here, friends. And you better get with it. If you're living in this time, you better get with it, friends. And you don't lie to the Holy Ghost, because if you do, you'll get killed. Man, isn't that a bit different to what's going on today? You say, right division doesn't matter, it has no practical consequences. It has huge consequences, my friends. Do you get the point I'm making about this church and the distinctive ministry we have here looking forward? Are we going to somehow backpedal and say, nah, this stuff doesn't matter, let's just preach the gospel and try and bring people in here and just preach the gospel. That's it. No way, Jose, friends. We've got something here which is vital. It's vital, man. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not just trying to hype myself up to say something cool from the pulpit. I believe this because I see it with my own eyes. It's black and white in front of me. I can see it, friends. And are we going to stop preaching about political things? No, we're going to increase it. Why? Because there's evidently some very important evil things that are going on in this country right now.
that need to be stated from the pulpit. And we need to back it up, man. And we need to start saying, we demand our rights. You are not going to take our rights from us. I didn't come all the way from New Zealand to America to go back to a socialist system. Goodness me. Why do people come to America, man? Well, there's a variety of reasons, but one of the main things is liberty, freedom, and the chance to be your own person, man, and to make your way in this world and succeed without all these inhibitions, without all these things placed upon you, stuck on you, so that you can't move forward. We want more government. We want less government, man. We want less. We want more Bible. We want more liberty. We want to be able to speak our minds. You know, one of the quickest way to get us off YouTube is for me to put up here stuff to do with hydroxychloroquine. I probably made a big mistake just by using the words. There's probably algorithms that are going to go through these and find, oh, he said hydroxychloroquine. Remove it. You know, that's the time we're living in, where people are being removed from social networks simply because they speak their mind. Don't have to agree with people. Let them say what they want to say. Let's hear it. If it's false, it's going to be exposed. We'll expose it. We'll dig it up. We'll find it. We'll research it. We've still got brains, believe it or not. Although looking at some people, you begin to wonder. Well, I better stop here. We're having a lot of fun today. There's so much in here. But yeah, can you see how, you know, this looking back and looking going forward? It's true, isn't it? We've got a lot to thank God for in the past. We've got a lot to look forward to in the future. We have a fantastic ministry here. We're able to resource the website, rightdivision.com, with preaching and teaching, which are changing minds even now. And we're going to continue, man. Hey, there's some important stuff coming up in this next series. We're starting on the book of Acts. And you can see why. Right? This is just part of it. There's a lot more coming, my friends. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. We've got together, Lord, to research and open the Scriptures and to understand more of Thy wonderful word, the promises that are given to us in this age. Lord, may we always rightly divide the word of truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.